This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you started.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, Souther.
How are you, buddy? It's been a while.
Dude, I know. It's been a few weeks. What have you been up to? You've been out of town. You just got back to town. You were in London.
I was in this week. Merry old London town.
Foggy old London
town. I was there for like 46 hours.
What were you doing there?
I went over
You're at the 50 Best, right?
I went over to 50. You know, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show. The little bar that could, Amore Margot, got number 74 on the 50 best list. The math doesn't work. Anyway, they do the 51 to 100 to watch. I'm super proud to be on the list. It's, we're 7.5 years old. We've never been on the list before. So to be on the list, I guess that means we're still trending upward, you know?
Like, yeah.
I see a lot of my friends who are on the list and have been on the list for years, and they're on it, and then maybe they're off it, or they're on it, and they're sliding towards the bottom end, you know, so maybe they're trending down, and I'm trending up as I get older. So I guess it's a good problem to have.
The
bar is like the...
Getting older is not...
The bar is like the Benjamin Button's bar. You know, we're going backwards. We're getting better as we get older.
And it was also London Cocktail Week, huh?
Which I didn't really realize until I got there.
There's like a different week every week.
True.
Like, literally.
Literally, there's a different week every week.
Not figuratively.
That's true. But there's also a different cocktail week almost every week.
Yeah, it's Sherry Week now, and you know it's like
it's incredible. I mean, it's a testament to, you know, the industry that we're in being stronger and stronger and being more and more recognized, and you know, people are into it.
It's also great for me being a brand ambassador because I don't have to program anything; it all just happens, and I just show up to things
Vibes.
And I get work done.
Vibes. So, yeah, it was London Cocktail Week. I did an event the night that I got off the plane, which was Tuesday last week, at a place called the Reverend J.W. Simpson. It was really cool, subterranean bar. You know, you go downstairs, and their whole vibe is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like drinking in church.
Yeah.
Their coasters were confessional tabs where you could write your confessions on them. And they keep them, and then they pick the best one of the week, and then that person gets... like a couple free drinks or something. I don't know.
I thought it was supposed to be, you know, it's confessional. You're not supposed
right. Well, you know.
You're not supposed to blow up their spot, you know.
Well, you know. They keep their most creative ones, I guess. Right on there it says, it has been blank hours since my last drink. And I was like, hours? Can I use a fraction? So I did an event there. And then the next night was the 50 Best party, which was crazy fun. Tons of people there. And then I left from the after party to go back to the airport.
Jeez.
I was there. I slept for about 6 hours on a friend's couch.
It's crazy.
That's it. In and out. Got to come back. Got to go to work. Got off the plane, went back to work at Amore Margo and and Windmill. And
yeah.
Time marches on. How's California?
California's great, man. It's super chill.
The pace is a little slower.
Yeah, they got this thing out there that like all the kids are like going crazy for.
Pot?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right way, but marijuana.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, it's totally legal. And it's super chill. yeah, man. I don't know. Like, I haven't really announced that I'm fully out there yet.
Anywhere. Yeah,
I'm bi-coastal. I still have my apartment here in Brooklyn. I have my house in Marin County. So
fancy, man.
If you're out there and you want to grab a drink with old Damon, hit me up. I will be not driving.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you get around out there? You got your bike.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I got the motorcycle, but that's the same. It's even worse.
Right. You can't drink. I understand, but I'm just saying.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, I live in Marin County, so there's a ferry right there, and, like, the ferry's really fun. They have a bar on the ferry, so, I mean, come on.
Just ride the ferry all day.
Then you just get into town, and, like, it's, like, 30 minutes from my house to the Embarcadero, and then you just kind of, like, pop around town. But honestly, I've just been exploring like more of like the East Bay and Marin, and on the I've only been there for about over 2 weeks, and it's been packed full of adventures and camping and stuff like that. So I'm really, most of the work that I've been doing out there has been like admin, you know, in the mornings, like on the computer, which is cool.
That's great.
It's so weird though, not being, you know, not being on a bar schedule and not having that in my life right now.
I'm envious.
I mean, no, it's
you shouldn't be.
It's good, and well, it's also kind
not of not strange. You. We'll get to you in a minute.
But yeah, but it's cool. Yeah, California's super chill, man. But then, you know, it's like I'm saying, you know, like it's Sherry Week now. I'm here. I've been here for the last week and a half. I have to go back tomorrow to California, and then immediately to Portland Cocktail Week. You know, it's just
I'll
like,
see you there. I'm a dean.
Yeah, I know.
Which track Dean are you in? Are you what are you doing? I don't get how does it work. What are you doing? Something with Brooklyn Gin?
Vibes, man.
Vibes. But I mean, what do you?
We have breakfast every morning that we're sponsoring, and yeah,
just weed's legal in Portland, do I hear?
Yeah.
All right, vibes. It is
super, super vibey,
super chill.
All right, let's
get into today. Today is World Mental Health Day.
Yeah.
Do you know that? I didn't know that until I was on the train on the way here.
Yeah.
Saw it on my Twitter feed.
So we definitely should talk about some of that today.
Twitter. I'm a dinosaur. So yeah, I was reading a few articles about that. You know, I'm pretty open about my struggles with mental health. Anxiety and depression are my two co-pilots at all times. But it's a cool tie-in, sort of, to our guest today is Paul Finn, from all the way up here from Austin, Texas. Paul does a lot of work involving healthcare in our community, and I'm certain that overlaps with mental health care. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, welcome to the studio, Paul.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. I met Paul.
Get a little tighter. I can bring it to you.
I met Paul about. It was over 4th of July week. I was down there in Austin, Texas, Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic.
That's right.
I was down there with my brother John Holzinger, our buddy.
Beto got on stage and sang with Willie Nelson. Yeah. You know, we're doing a Beto event with Coup over at Mother of Pearl on the 15th, 1 week from yesterday.
Heck yeah, man.
Nice. Be red.
Yeah. And, you know, John Holzinger from Michter's was down there with me. It's a great time. We got to go by.
I saw him in London.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we got to go by this awesome bar called Garage in Austin, and it's super cool. Have you been?
It's been 20 years since I've been to Austin.
Okay, so you got to go. It's obviously changed a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this bar is in a fucking parking garage, man. So, my favorite thing about it was, outside of, meeting Paul and his team, everyone's super awesome. It's a great bar, big kind of round bar. But the, the parking, the ramp that goes up to the floors, that's, the ceiling. You look at the ceiling, and it's,
swooping curve.
Yeah, it's awesome. But, yeah, it's a super cool bar, I can't wait to go back. But for now, we brought him up here.
We got the guy right here.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're going to tell us all about Garage. But also in the studio, we got a dear friend in more close proximity, lives here in New York City, William Pineapple, expat of... Hell, where are you an expat of?
In New York or world? New York, I guess you'd say extra fancy Mother's Ruin holiday. I've been my three majors. Yeah. To Pega Club for a summer. I've been around though.
Yeah, pulled some shifts at Amore Margot.
Oh yeah, I actually forgot. I used to that's where you were digging, right? Number 74 was it?
Yeah, 74 out of 50. Just to downplay my own thing. So Paul, talk to us a little bit about what you do down there at Garage, what Garage is all about, and then let's talk really heavily about what you're doing for healthcare in our community.
For sure. So Garage Bar, it's a cocktail bar.
Have you ever heard the show before? You listen to the show?
I've listened to a few episodes. I've listened to a few.
Off the air before we got on, Paul admitted to having listened to 200 episodes in the last, how many weeks? 6 weeks?
Since July.
Yeah, I listened to one. I feel a little incompetent right now.
I've got a commute, a 45-minute car ride to and from work.
Perfect timing.
That's what I listen to on the way there. So
amazing. We're your co-pilots.
Absolutely.
Remember what Rob Morton said that, too? He listened to, six episodes at a time because he was driving down the Carolinas and back all the time. All right. Anyway, sorry. I digress. Talk about yourself. What's up?
Yeah. So I've been at Garage. We're coming up on 5 years in March. I moved to Austin right before it opened. A friend of a friend of a friend. I was kind of going around trying to check out the bars in Austin, trying to see where I was going to land. I actually moved to Austin pretty unexpectedly. We had just moved to New York. We're renovating a house in Long Island that my sister owned. I was working at the White Hotel as a bartender, and then we got a call that my father-in-law got sick, so we kind of, on the dime, just sort of like, you know, we hadn't unpacked yet from our move to New York, and we just packed back up again and, you know, drove to Austin and landed there.
Did you expect that was going to be temporary, or did you know it was going to be, you know, you're there now 5 years?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's funny. We didn't even really think about it. It was right. Just kind of like, it was sort of like an urgent reason to move, and obviously, like, we've kind of put in roots there now. We bought a house. I have 2 children. I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. My daughter's in first grade, so, you know, life kind of happens organically.
Mm-hmm.
Life
finds a way.
Yes, it does. But my first job in Austin was at Garage. It hadn't opened yet. I was hired late February. We opened up in mid-March for South By, and it's been a ride ever since. I love it. I started as a bartender there. I'm now the GM, beverage director, and do a little bit of bartending still.
You opened during South by Southwest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like opening during cocktail.
It's going to get kicked in the face.
It was a tall order, for sure. Yeah. We did it. But yeah, Garage is a nice, kind of hidden bar in downtown Austin. It isn't a parking garage. The great thing about it, though, isn't so much that it's hidden, but like the sequence of you come from the street and you're kind of looking around like, where the hell is this place, you know? And then people finally find their way to sort of wind through the parking garage, and you go around this sort of like curve, and it kind of guides you into the bar, and then you open the door and you're in this like mid-century modern, like beautiful, dimly lit bar, and it's like, what the fuck?
It's so cool. Shangri-La.
Yeah.
Ample parking, I assume.
Yeah, it's 6 floors of parking, yeah. Double helical parking garage.
Leave your keys.
Yeah, valet? No, okay, fine.
But yeah, so I've been ever since, and William Ball, who's owner of Garage, you know, great guy, has a really, hospitality and health and wellness are really important to him. I was really inspired by that and sort of ran with that. About 2 years ago, we offered healthcare to all full-time employees, so anyone who works 30 hours or more a week.
Which is unheard of in our in our business.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure a bunch of listeners just leaned in and turned up the volume.
They're like, we're moving to Austin.
Listening with intent.
With the exception of like hotels and corporate bartending jobs.
Sure,
they have healthcare.
But that's a small percentage of our overall.
Yeah, I've always had
and
healthcare.
And we're already only 10% of the workforce.
Mm. Right, and in this industry I've been in for so long, like this is the first time I've ever had healthcare through my own job. Usually my wife had the job that had the healthcare, and I was on her plan. So to be able to have my own healthcare through my job is great. And obviously management usually gets healthcare, not always obviously, but if there's going to be healthcare, it's going to be for managers, but we offer it for anyone full-time after 60 days. And the team just loves it. Retention is awesome. You know, the staff grows with us, they stay with us, they're loyal, they're happy. I mean, the hospitality is so important, and that was a big part of the reason too. It's like, we're very hospitality forward as a bar. I mean, I always tell the staff, if there's 3 things that can happen at night, one of them is service, one of them is food and beverage, and the third is hospitality, and you can only choose one to go right, hospitality has to be it. Obviously, you want to make the best cocktails, the best food, and deliver the best service, but if the hospitality is off, those things don't really matter.
Sure, man.
Love that.
Yeah. And it really showed when we were there back in July. It was like, outside of like, I'm a sucker for design, coming from a design background, like, I just, you know, and like, of course, I was there with my twin brother who is a designer for Apple, you know, and we were just like kind of looking around the place. Dude, look at that. Look at that. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, it's super cool. But then also your staff was so freaking nice, you know, and
well, I mean,
we talk about like so much on this show.
We also talk about tools a lot, right? As management, as an owner, you got to give your team the tools. And what you just said resonates to me as a tool.
Yeah.
You've given them something to relieve a stress that's on their life, right?
Yeah.
The need for healthcare. And by giving that to them, they're a more relaxed person, which means they can probably deliver that number one goal of yours, hospitality, with much more ease.
Absolutely. Because, like, you know, they say, treat others how you treat yourself is the golden rule, right? But you have to sort of think inwardly and say, how well am I treating myself? You know, am I eating healthy food on schedule? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I working doubles 5 days a week? So in this industry, I mean, there's kind of a tendency over the years to sort of, you know, reward that kind of behavior. It's like, oh, I cut myself in the kitchen. I just put duct tape on it. I didn't go to the doctor.
I put some ground pepper in there and put duct tape on it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm powering through.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put ground pepper in it because it absorbs the blood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I super glued my thumb back together at one point because
we've all done that. You got to keep going.
Yeah.
And then, like, so that mentality is kind of like, it's almost like you're shamed if you've hurt yourself or you need a sick day, you need a personal day, you need a mental health day, right? So we end up working. And then what happens is eventually people snap, right? And how is hospitality going to fare when someone's worked 14 shifts straight, not gone to the doctor to take care of the illness they're having, you know, drinking too much, not eating enough, not getting enough sleep? So it's really important to have that mentality of, you know, I hate to use the term wellness just because it's like a blanket term that can mean like a million different things, but I don't know a better term. But, you know, maybe awareness.
Vibes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, to maybe put this into perspective for everyone at home, I'm 34. I left Australia in 2009. The last time I went to a doctor was last year when I went back to Australia. So that was 8 years.
Yeah.
I just didn't go to a doctor because I didn't have the means. Like, I couldn't afford it, basically. Yeah. Right. When I got sick, I just stayed home and ate cane and lemon.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes you can't even stay home.
Well, no, like
you got to go to work.
If you got to work, and you like, especially in New York, if you can't find cover for yourself, you got to turn up.
Yeah,
if you're sick, then your boss is going to be like, "All right, you're actually sick. You should probably go home. Mm-hmm. You look like terrible."
I mean, I'm an owner. I don't have insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, but then like
I got hit by a car last year.
Yeah.
Luckily, in New York, the onus is on the driver of the car. And so
he drove you to the hospital. So
he literally, yeah.
But I mean, you were riding
home,
on.
He drove me home. I went home
on the hood of the car, but
yeah, exactly. That could have been catastrophic for anyone else. If that had happened to anybody else, and that guy had maybe run, even if it happened to me and he ran, I couldn't work for 6 months.
You broke your humerus, or
I broke the ball of my humerus.
Yeah.
Not as funny as it sounds.
Thank you.
Go back to what you're saying, Pineapple. Like if you can't get coverage, you show up to work, and you're actually sick as a dog, then you get sent home. That's half of your day that you could have used resting.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you didn't.
Soup, so. Or,
yeah.
And if you're sick and your mind's not on your game, like you were saying before, like when you're on the subway and you're on the way to work, you're mentally preparing yourself for the shift. If you're mentally preparing yourself and you've got a fever, you could get there and one thing could go wrong. It could ruin your whole day. And then you're just inside yourself, and you can't come out of it, you know. And then that's not fair to your customer. They're paying,
or your
basically
your physical motor skills aren't great anymore. You cut yourself with a peeler, whatever, some dumb shit. Yeah, it's a tangled fucking mess, and we're dealing with it kind of daily. And I'm glad to hear that there are people out there and businesses out there that are taking charge and making it a priority.
Yeah.
But it's right at that time. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll keep talking about healthcare and hospitality. And we're also going to crack open this beautiful bottle of Colonel E.H. Taylor Small Batch Bottled in Bond Bourbon that you brought for us. All right, we'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
We are back.
That's that bottle of E.H. Taylor I promised.
We were talking before the break about the health and wellness in the industry. And what's funny about this is, like, you brought a bottle of whiskey. But hey, back in the day, it would be prescribed.
Considered medicine? That's
correct. Yeah, it was considered medicine. And you would get prescribed whiskey for things like colds and toothaches and things like that. So you did a great, great service to us, my friend. This is like actual bartender insurance. So we were talking before the break about healthcare and the lack thereof.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. We've all been there, like working in the industry. There's always like, we get cut by a peeler or a broken glass. Or,
anything.
You know, I can't even like.
We work in a fast-paced. Oh yeah, man! Add fire.
Add fire to it.
Add fire and knives. Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone yelling at you constantly to go faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. Is that, that goes to the mental well-being. You know?
Whether it's your head chef or your customers, or it's Friday night and you're four deep and you're like, I physically can't go fast enough to serve these people as fast as they want to, and they're getting angry at me, and that's my fault. It's not your fault, but you feel like it is. That's,
yeah, it's a proven thing that we always use the word multitask, but we cannot multitask. Our brains are literally just switching from one job to another really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah.
I didn't know
multitasking
that.
Is not a real thing. That's a thing we created. So, and I read further about it, about being in specifically our business.
What about if you're stirring and shaking at the same time?
Yeah, you're switching back and forth.
Really?
Like crazy.
Okay.
Right?
That's messed up.
Yeah. So your brain is like constantly clicking switches, yeah?
Yeah.
But so then imagine in the service industry, when you're in the kitchen or when you're in the back of the house or behind the bar, and you've got, you know, literally a list of things that's never ending. You tick things off, but things are being added as you're ticking them off. So you're clicking that switch all the time. Right, and it's mentally fatiguing. This also damages your immune system. So we're like kind of like constantly in a state of panic for the body.
Down.
Yeah, it's incredible. So yeah, the issue is huge. And so you've been doing that with Garage now for some years. Did that start right at the beginning?
No, not right at the beginning. Probably about the halfway mark. So yeah,
we've 2.5 years ish.
Yeah.
But you've gone beyond that, right? What are you doing beyond Garage? What are you doing outside the Garage?
Well, so, I mean, I guess I've sort of embraced the implications of what it would mean if we could get people more used to the idea of healthcare in their business models. And I recognize that that's not an easy thing, and it's a big expense. But the way I look at it is like, you know, how much money do we spend a year on equipment repair, right? If you look at your P&L report and you say, mm-hmm. oh my God, we spent like $15,000 last year repairing our cold
just
draft.
Just your ice machine. It's always the ice machine.
Specifically the cold draft, that motherfucker.
And that's like a normal thing, and no one blinks an eye about that. But then you say to yourself, like, how much have we spent on our human repair, our human maintenance, you know, because our people are the most important thing there, right? So how do we give them the resources to, you know, to excel and to take care of themselves? Which is, it's funny that that's like an unusual thing in this industry, like philosophically, to even think that way. And I think obviously the tide is changing on that, like pretty quickly. But I just wanted to sort of be a resource to people where, because the thing is, like, healthcare is complicated. You know, at the top level with an owner and investor, it's an expense that they're not necessarily prepared to add to what they're doing, right? So there's a little bit of, you know, resistance there. But then once you add healthcare, then you have to have managers who can administer healthcare, and that itself is very complicated. So I know when I first started doing it, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know? So there's resistance there, because if you're a manager and you already got a million things on your plate, and then someone says, oh, now you have to be in charge of the healthcare stuff and do all this.
It's like a full-time, almost like a payroll situation where you've got to know the ins and outs. And
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because most bars and restaurants don't have a human resources person.
Yeah, I'm it.
Yeah,
I also literally mop the floors at the end of the night.
Yeah, so then there's resistance there. And then once the manager's on board, you still have to convince the staff, one, why they need healthcare and why they should be paying money monthly out of their paycheck for healthcare. Some people have never had healthcare before. They don't know the difference between a PPO and HMO. They don't know how to find a doctor. They don't know what you do when you go to a doctor. They don't know the difference between a sick visit and a wellness visit. And so all these things are very opaque, and it's kind of like, our jobs to like, kind of guide them through it and, you know, give them the options and say, if you decide to sign up for healthcare, these are the benefits. You know, you can get your teeth clean and go to the dentist every 6 months. You can get wellness visits and get ahead of illnesses rather than wait till you're sick, really sick, really sick, not get any better. Now you have to go to an emergency visit, you know. So preventive medicine is important. And honestly, like, I think the biggest boon of all of it and what has really made me like really embrace it is that you have access to mental health care. Which, without insurance, who can afford $250 a week to see a therapist? I mean, in this industry, you know? So by offering healthcare, I think that's one of the greatest things is, you know, taking care of our mental health and say, I need to speak to someone, I need to see a therapist or a psychologist, and commit to that and do that once a week and find one that's in my network so I can just pay a $30 copay and keep up with it. Because with therapy, you have to go every week or every 2 weeks. It can't be like you just go once in a while.
And you pick up that extra shift during the week, so you can use the money you made from the shift to pay for the therapy session, but then also you're working an extra shift.
Now you
might need to go twice a week.
You're further fatigued. Yeah, you got more issues.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So it's a cycle, you know.
Just getting ahead of it, yeah.
And how are you, so you are you out there sort of trying to promote this to other businesses and say, how can I help you get on board? How are you going about this?
I mean, this is all kind of a developing thing. I'm doing some talks about it, like I'm doing the San Antonio Cocktail Conference in January.
I'll be there.
I'm doing a USBG event in November in Austin, and just some other things. I've actually been talking a lot with Rebecca Kate from Solaris Cove, because healthcare is really important to her and wellness is important
to her.
She's
awesome.
She's great, and she almost all of her bars provide healthcare for their staff, and they have 100% staff on healthcare, which is so good. So she's been kind of a mentor to me. We've been going back and forth. She's been helping me some stuff. I've worked on sort of like a FAQ packet that you could include in like your employee manual about mental health, and it's like it's assuming like because with mental health it's tricky. You can't as a manager get involved with that. You can't. You know, tell someone they need to do it. You can't ask questions about it. You have to sort of keep a distance. But in order to help...
Which I think is wrong. You know, I think we've over-stigmatized it by creating these things that are supposedly there to protect your privacy and things like that, which I understand. But I feel like we've sort of built a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then also, Souther, if your manager has the ability to fire you and there's something wrong with you as an employee, then they shouldn't be able to get involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, I understand your side, but there it's a double-edged.
Yeah, it's a necessary thing that stigmatized the issue.
It sucks, but
so I'm trying to circumvent that by creating a manual that's just like assuming you know nothing about therapy. Maybe all you know is that you think you might need it. So it's an FAQ that walks you through like all the various questions of like how to sort of acclimate you to the idea, and then if you want to do it, like people like how to do it. When I started going to therapy about 2 years ago, like prior to that, my life was a complete disaster. You know, my mental health is a complete disaster. And
but did you know that it was a complete disaster, or you just thought that was normal?
No. Well,
see, there's the thing. That's the question.
Good question,
Pineapple. Ding ding. You should be in the media more.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. You know, we're really good at sort of talking ourselves around these things, right? So when I eventually was like, yeah, I think I need to figure this out. I think I need to speak to somebody. And you know what? It was a hard process. Like, just because you decide one day, like, I want to see a therapist, it is not easy. I mean, I had to, like, figure out the resources. I went on psychologytoday.com. You enter in, like, your zip code, what kind of therapy you're seeking, what your issues are, and all these things that it populates a list of, like, from thousands to, like, 20. And then you can figure out, like, in my network, all that stuff. And then still, you got to go through the 20 people and talk to them on the phone for 15 minutes. And in that conversation, you're trying to figure out, like, are they a good fit? And when they're not, it's usually pretty obvious. And when they are, it's pretty obvious, but it takes work to do that. And this whole time, in your head, you're going like, I feel like I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I just want to be helped. So
I just want to be helped. Like, why won't anyone help me?
Get it. Yeah.
Funny enough, ironically, my sister...
Right, so another thing that you should probably consider in your life is doing this before you think you even need it.
Sure. Not waiting until the emergency
Go through all those steps you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Prior to thinking you need it.
And because it's a crisis mode, right?
Yeah.
And
then you're trapped in that place where you just mentioned, which sounds helpless. I need help, and no one can help me because I have to tell them how to help me first.
Right, and it feels like a wall.
And I don't know how to tell them.
Exactly, I don't have the language for this. My sister-in-law is a psychologist; she's a doctor. Obviously, she's my sister-in-law, so I can't see her because that's not how it works. But the funny thing was, when I was trying to find a therapist, like every third therapist would be like, I'm not taking any new patients, but there's this great doctor you should talk to in the city. It was my sister-in-law every time. The last time that happened, I just threw my phone across the room. Right. But I did find someone who was great. I looked at her website, and just there was like a quote on there that just like really said, I can't remember it exactly now, but it was something like, you know, even in darkness, there's value or something like that. And I was like, wow, that's like where my head is at right now. So I started seeing her. I talked to her on the phone, had a great conversation. She called me like in the middle of a shift and was like slammed, and I'm like, I gotta take this call, I keep missing it, and we hit off really well, and I've been going every week now, every 2 weeks, start out every week for over 2 years. And in that time, it went from, again, I was in crisis mode to now, like, she's more of like a life coach, where like we go there and, you know, there's not as many sessions where I'm crying or angry.
Yeah. And I've not had therapy since I was a kid, but I would imagine that she's giving you skills so that you almost don't need her.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, that's a great thing about therapy, is the skills.
They're trying to work themselves out of a job.
Yeah, I mean, basically, because the skills you learn in therapy, they stay with you. You know, if I stop going tomorrow, I've still already learned so much and built up such a catalog of these ways of coping that...
Well, even like you said earlier, you learned the language.
Yeah, the language.
Right, that's a big step.
Giving names to issues is really important because we don't know what these things are, right? Like you said, like anxiety and depression. But
took me years to nail down those two.
Right. I mean, how do you even know if you don't know what to compare it to? Right.
Sure.
And they help you with that.
I've been plagued by really bad anxiety my entire life. And a lot of it was social anxiety. And it was funny that I work in a bar. Yeah. But like,
it's a coping mechanism.
It is. It's exercise for me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, playing music. But there's always a separation involved. Like, you've got the bar that separates you from people.
That 3 feet
you've
of
got
bar,
a stage that separates you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really that it helps. It helps you work on that, right? But I don't know, man. It's.
So you see yourself as not in the social situation, but sort of.
Yeah, you're there, but you're
also kind of
you're social like, adjacent. Yeah,
even if you're behind the bar and you tell someone to go fuck themselves, they can't do anything. They can yell at you, but they can't physically touch you. Like there's too far.
Well,
like, there's that barrier. You know?
You know, the thing about that is actually I had the last time I had like a full fucking breakdown was about maybe a little over a year ago, and it was like Friday night, and one of the things that with the design of my bar was that I didn't want to have like a door policy. I wanted it to be an open door, you know, just come on in. There's no gatekeeper, you know, and that's cool because it makes it more neighborhoody and kind of a little bit more playful and fun. I mean, definitely because it's typically a fucking party in there, but it comes at a price. So one night, like typically I'm the person who has to cut people off and kick them out as the owner and being the person behind the bar and.
You're also the biggest.
Whoever's hosting.
Plus, you're like, tall. You got a deep voice. Like you can throw some intimidation at somebody if you want to.
Yeah, but then it comes at a fucking price, man. Because it's just like after you get in a fight or you kick someone out, like you're
shaking.
You're like shaking. Yeah. So it happened four times that night. It happened to be the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony at Barclays Center
nearby.
So we're nearby, and it happened four times. Someone came back in and threatened my life, and I just like I had to physically remove like one party. It was just an awful night. And so after that, I was like, my thing is when I go through, like when I have panic attacks like that, I develop a stutter and I can't talk for days. And so I had actually, because of the fact that this happened at work, I missed out on like two shifts of work because I couldn't actually be there. I couldn't speak.
Right.
It was just my brain was locked up.
Yeah.
You know, doing this radio show and talking about it, and like that's also therapy for me to like be able to talk, and like it helps me with my social anxiety too. But
here we are again, social adjacent, right? With four of us in this little room.
Right.
With a window looking out after the restaurant. You
know, yeah, totally.
With a couple people five inches away, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all the listeners,
but the thing is, like, aren't here. There are certain things something that I'm taking away from this episode, which is really important, is that like managing the bar or restaurant or pretty much anything in life is like the most important part, like for your health and well-being and safety, right? If I'd had a door person that I'd, you know, put on payroll,
right,
then I never, for all the times that I've had to kick someone out of that bar or cut someone off, come out from behind the bar, so I'm neglecting all my customers because there's no bartender because I'm dealing with some drunk idiot who doesn't believe that they're wasted, and I'm telling them that they are and they're no longer welcome, and they're arguing with me when I've said no a billion times, then it's just bad for everyone. It's bad for my customers, it's bad for my coworkers, it's bad for me too.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So I think like putting people in the right roles, you know, like having someone there who understands healthcare.
Yeah.
Like you put in the work to make sure.
So now you're the resource.
Now you're the resource, and you have the resource. Because like you said, there's no HR department for bars and restaurants typically.
Especially not sole proprietorships like us. We're too small.
Yeah.
I've got three now, and they're loosely connected to one another. If we could get those connections a little bit tighter, then maybe we could make like, okay, now we're one company.
Yeah.
But even then, I've still only got a total of 22 employees.
Yeah.
With three bars. You know what I mean? So it's not.
Have you ever considered like looking into a package for even just like Ori Margo? Or is it too small?
We're only four employees.
Yeah.
Including me. It's only three.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's.
Do you still not have health insurance?
Me?
No, even
I don't.
After that bike ride?
I don't. It's literally, if we looked at my phone right now and my notes, it's on my checklist.
Yeah, same here.
It's
I haven't had. I don't. I have no way of getting
it. It's my goal to get it by the end of the year. What do you mean, no way? because of your citizenship status?
Nothing to do with my visa, just with the way they fire bartends. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to save, you know, there's a magic number in my head of $238, which is over 5 years. That'll get me $100,000, which will either buy me a bar or buy me an apartment. Oh, I like, it will get me a mortgage to buy a bar.
Did you say pony? Yeah.
No. I thought you said pony.
We'd get a mortgage to buy a bar or an apartment.
Oh, apartment.
Yeah.
I just could have sworn he said pony as well.
Yeah, so then, flat. A bar, you know, or a pony. I've got that all number right. in my head of $238 of a week that I need to save.
Uh-huh.
On top of my rent, on top of what I need to eat, on top of my social, you add healthcare on top of that, I don't know where my next paycheck is coming from. I don't have a job right now, you know?
Right.
So for me as a 34-year-old male that is a bartender, that isn't corporate and won't go to hotels, getting health insurance is just, it's not it. It doesn't even cross my mind.
Sure. But way outside the list of priorities.
And that's interesting you say that because it is a list of priorities, right? And I think what happens is we get used to living and working without it for so long, it doesn't seem like a priority. Right, but I'm 44 years old. I've been in this industry for, God, almost like 30 years.
Yeah.
I started bussing tables at a restaurant at 15. So, like, you get so used to that not being in your repertoire, or one of your resources, that we just live that way. And it's like we just think of other things being more important to pay for than the healthcare and our health, right? But the problem with that is eventually it does catch up with you. And, like, I can tell you right now, at 44 years old, like, I have a lot of pain in my body from this lifestyle. I mean, my shoulders, my back are just like shot. And part of that is because like we didn't think we were going to be doing this in our 40s.
No.
You know?
Or you at least thought it was going to be
better.
A little different.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. I did not know bartending would be this hard. When my uncle sat me down, he's like, you want to travel, you want to learn how to cook, or you want to learn how to make drinks because people have to eat and they love to drink or they love to party. You'll get work anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. That'll be great for when I finish high school. And I'm 34 and I'm still doing it.
Well, I think that bars are just also just busier these days, you know?
Yeah.
And so that puts a lot more strain on us. Like, my bar is the busiest bar.
A lot of reasons to drink right now.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. And that's the truth.
In our country, for sure.
So, I mean, for me, like, physically, it's like, you know, my spine is twisted. I have known that for years now because... just completely, that ice, just like that lunging into the ice well with cold draft. I mean, it's like, that is not a natural movement.
It's like putting a shovel into a bunch of gravel that's near your knees, and then you've got to scoop it up sometimes near your head.
Yeah,
exactly.
1,700
times. I'm curious if it weren't for the poor state of healthcare availability in our business, if that would be the line that would stop. This is an abstract thought that I'm having right now. If that would be the thing that would stop people from saying things like...
It's not even on my list.
When do you get a real job? What's your real job? Oh. I think if healthcare was as common in our business as it is as being an accountant,
right,
then I think that would legitimize our positions a little bit more.
And two and a half years in of offering this to your staff,
mm-hmm.
big question. What have you noticed? Is there a difference?
Oh, absolutely.
In your staff? And
I mean, just... philosophically, there's a difference. I mean, the staff, I have a wonderful staff. I love them all. And they're just so committed to their jobs. They're all like willing to go above and beyond. And they believe in what we're doing. They want to grow with us. They're not thinking about like the next spot. They all are career bartenders.
So your retention is better?
Retention is a lot better. I mean, we were going through a lot of turnover for a while there. And now like we found a team and like we have great retention. And that alone saves a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because hiring, training is expensive. I mean.
Oh yeah, man.
Spending 5 hours a week interviewing and paying for, you know.
Oh, and then them not turning up to the interview or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a huge time killer, you know.
Yeah, and then like, if I could take that one step further, have you noticed? Is it more profitable now that you've offered health insurance to your staff?
Yes, I can say that 100%. Our sales are up. Significantly, since we started off in healthcare, it is following through because the staff is healthy and happy, and they're given fantastic hospitality. We're busier now than we were our first year. Our first year was very busy.
That's amazing, man. Well,
there we go.
Congratulations.
Right. I mean, there's tons of corporations out there that are crunching numbers all the time. You see it all the time, even in non-biased or non-partisan reports of things like. It comes out every year around this time, frankly, when it'll be like, well, you know, flu season causes X amount of absenteeism and X amount of production loss and X amount of dollars lost. So you gotta assume that the opposite is true.
Yeah.
If you can get people healthy and have them come to work every day, then productivity and profits go up.
Yeah. And
even on a small scale like a bar, how many employees do you say you have?
Under 15.
Under 15.
So it's a small crew. And the other thing too, another thing I want to talk about briefly is just that I recognize that healthcare is not viable for everybody. I think that everyone should consider it. Like if you're thinking about getting a climb bell system and paying someone 40 hours a week to cut ice for you, if you're considering that, maybe you should consider healthcare as an expense, because obviously, so you know what I'm saying?
The same amount of money, right?
But yeah, that's not for everybody, and I get that. But at least I think we need to come around to having policies, like wellness policies, built into our mission statements and our core values. Because, like for me, I try to never let an employee work more than 40 hours a week. It's not always possible, but in general, like I don't want them to work more than 40 hours a week. If someone has a second job, it's just kind of like, you know, can't really do that, because what I've seen over the years, people just overwork and overwork and overwork, and they come into a Saturday night shift, haven't worked every day that week at their other job and the current job, and they just melt down, and then they get sick. Like their immunity's down, and they get sick, and then they miss the following week, and then they lose a lot of money. You know, so just having policies of like how you guide your employees and what they're allowed to do and not do. We don't drink during the shift, so you know their shift drinks don't happen until the doors are closed and all the guests are gone. That wasn't always that way, but like I also noticed too, it's like when you can drink, you know, we're all adults, like I trust you, use discretion, like that worked for a little bit, but as you're coping with frustration and being busy and anxiety with alcohol throughout a shift, next thing you know, it's like, oh, it's, God, they're drunk. You know?
Right.
It's easy to grab a shot when you're too deep. And that's, like, that's going to get me through when, you know, you should use some other kind of tool to help you get through that.
So building mise en place, personal mise en place, where like if one of your tools is alcohol for coping, remove that and replace it with something healthier and more positive. You know, get away for 5 minutes, go into the storage closet, do a 5 minute meditation, do 5 minute breathing, do a little bit of stretching, a little bit of yoga, chant, whatever. For every person is different what gets them to that place, that reset button. But if you choose that as a coping mechanism, then that's in your mise en place, and you build that, and then you have like 10 things in your mise en place that can help you cope and sort of get through those hard moments. Like that's where you're not only not doing something bad to your body, but you're actually excelling even heavier.
You're doing something good.
Yeah.
There was a bar that, this is kind of like the opposite of that, but it's the same kind of idea. It's just kind of like more on the aggressive side. There was a bar that I used to work at in the basement. There was an Everlast punching bag hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And you know what? It worked.
Yeah.
Sure. Go blow off some steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
Right? Get after it.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, you know, if you didn't wear gloves and if you, like,
you didn't scuff your knuckles up pretty good. Yeah.
You can fuck yourself up, and then you're not able to work. But I hear what you're saying. There are plenty of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
To like get through that stuff, and I just realized we haven't even had a sip of this whiskey yet.
Oh, I think this is
probably a really good time to do that.
I've been sipping on this E.H. Taylor whiskey. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks for bringing it.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers, y'all.
Plastic
cheers.
Cup. Cheers.
To your health.
Really, can't really hear on the air. Cheers, team. Well, man, it's been really great having you on, both of you. Thanks for sitting in with us today, Pineapple.
Yeah, no worries.
So, Paul, you got some social media you want to plug? How can people get in touch with you to talk about this stuff?
Yeah.
And you mentioned a couple of places you're going to be speaking, but mm-hmm. How can people follow that and maybe see you talk?
Yeah, and especially like you're saying before, like you're setting up all these things, which you're doing a great service to our community, you know. So I'm sure that there are a bunch of listeners who are going to want to be able to get in contact with you, you know, directly.
No, I'd love to hear from people and be a resource. So I don't have like a webpage myself right now. There is a garage website, garagetx.com. I am on Instagram, PF_Finn. You can find me there. And then I have a Facebook page, Paul Finn, Austin, Garage Bar. You can search me. And I'm going to be doing a lot of my updates through my Facebook page or Instagram. And, you know, I try to show some of our staff meetings and the different things we do for you know, wellness. So through those different formats, people can contact me, and I'm happy to share information. I can share that intro to therapy document if anyone wants it, and even help with like healthcare stuff and how to wrap your head around that. So yeah, I'd love to hear from everybody.
Heck awesome. Yeah, man.
That's great. All right. Well, we should wrap up this episode of the Speakeasy. Coming up soon, we got Johnny Schuler of Caravedo. I'm probably mispronouncing it. Caravedo. Do you know this Pisco? What's that?
Caravedo.
Yeah, Caravedo. That's what I said.
That's not what you said.
play the tape back. Caravedo Pisco. He's going to talk to us Caravedo. All about Pisco making. Then I'm going to be gone for a bit, and you are as well, but we've got some stuff in the can that I think we can air. And then it's Halloween. I don't know if we're going to do a show on Halloween or not. Then Jillian Vose is going to come sit with us and talk about the new Dead Rabbit book, which is looks amazing. It's kind of like a cocktail book meets graphic novel. And then we're halfway into November. Jeff Bell is going to come see us and talk about his. He's involved in a new brandy. Yeah, Bertu. Have you tried it?
I have a bottle sitting at my bar. I haven't tried it yet.
I haven't even seen it. I want to, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Katie Stipe's working for them out
in, no way.
On the West Coast.
Adorable. Yeah. Yeah, everything that guy touches turns to gold. Prettiest man I ever saw.
What are we going to do for Halloween?
I don't know.
I'm going to be in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I'll be at the bar, I guess. Well, it's a Wednesday. Yeah. I'll be at the bar. I'll be at the bar not giving away candy to kids because I'm that guy on the block.
Nice. Cool.
Hey, it's a bitter bar.
It is a bitter bar.
Get used to it, kids.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks again for being on the show today, guys.
Very well.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing us a bottle of whiskey. That's awesome. Because, yeah, this is our medicine for now.
Until we get it
all the rest of it figured out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many more programs like this one. Click on the beating heart to donate to the station and keep us going. Until next week, y'all. Cheers.
Cheers,
to
guys.
Your health.
Don't shun the devil.
To your health.
You rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam is gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.